This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Talk to your neighbor, greet them, tell them it's good to see. Why don't you wave to everybody down your aisle? Make sure that you talk to everybody. Excuse me. Get your own business. Just playing. Don't take that the wrong way. There we go. And quit flirting with me. I got to preach. Pick that up later on after the second service. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So we made our declaration of faith. No, we pray. Wait, we've done both. Okay, all right. No, now y'all know y'all gonna start that clock back over. Hold on, let me check my driver's license, make sure I'm still the pastor of this church. Yep, I'm still me. It's still me. All right, okay. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to jump right into our lesson. We made our confession of faith, and so they'll get the clock fixed, but I'm going to jump right into it. Here we go. Faith for the abundant life, part 3. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse. The writer says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above," not some, but what class? "All that we ask or think according to the power that works within us." And I've taught you this scripture over the years. It teaches us that God has the ability to go beyond the scope of our present thinking. So whatever we're thinking, God says, "I can do that, but just so you know, I can do better than that." And even as you increase in faith and things start getting even better, God says, "I can do that, but I can do better than that." And so God can take us beyond anything we can ask or dream. The bottom line is God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. When you're believing for something, as long as you can find it in the word and attach your faith to it, it can come to pass in your life. Now, my definition for the abundant life is living a life in the will of God, and we know that his will is his word. Isn't that right? So living a life in the will of God where you are overcoming every adversity and having all of your physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial needs met, how class? In abundance. And that's the key. That's God's plan. It is the will of God for you to have all of your physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial needs met in abundance. I spent the entire time last week making sure that I gave you the understanding of the importance of balancing what we call this abundant life. I told you how the Holy Spirit really impressed upon me, partly because we have so many new people coming and so many new viewers watching, to get them to understand that there has to be a balance. So when I say things like abundance, or I say, prosperity, we're not just talking about money, although it is included. It is the total package of nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. I told you how, yes, you need money, but you also need peace in your life. You need joy. You need good relationships. You need a healthy body. That is the abundant life. It is the total package in our lives. And so I spent the entire time talking about that last week. I talked about our covenant rights and how we access them through the word of God, how we access them through giving. And so my whole goal last week was to just kind of share my story, and I shared a little bit of it. And so I'm going to just kind of jump in, and we're going to keep going. Are y'all ready to roll this morning? All right, here we go. John 10:10, we'll put that up on the screen. Jesus is talking here, and he says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, and to steal, and to destroy. Jesus says, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." In the Amplified, it says, "to the full till it overflows." And so you've got to understand that God wants you to live an incredible life. Watch this, but it's not totally up to God. He needs your permission and your participation for him to usher his will into your life. And so you've got to understand that there's a part that you have to play. I have to take the word. I have to apply the word. The Bible says that we can't just be, watch this, here hearers of the word, but we actually have to be doers of the word, and that's how you see it come to pass in your life. So last week, I explained how several years ago I was at a very low point in my life. I mean, I was living holy. I love God, but I had questions because, you know, I would read scriptures like 3 John 2, where he say, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." But I wasn't really experiencing prosperity. I would read John 10 and 10, where he talked about the abundant life, but I wasn't living the abundant life. And I began to learn the word of faith. I began to learn that the Bible was full of prophecy, promises, and principles. And for every prophecy, for every promise, and for every principle, that there was a faith process to bring it to pass. I began to learn that the word of God, that the will of God was not automatic, that God needed my permission and my participation for him to usher his will into my life. There were some things that I was going to have to do. I was going to have to open my mouth and boldly start declaring what the word said. I had to understand that death and life was in the power of the tongue. I had to understand that, watch this, I had to, watch this, say what I saw, and if I would do that, I would see amazing things come to pass in my life. And so I started confessing the word of God. I said, my pastor would give us confessions. I started writing my own confession. I wrote my own confession over my marriage, over Lady and I. I wrote my own confession over my children. I wrote different confessions, and every day in and day out, you know, we were living on what, babe, 201 Cardinal Road in Jacksonville, something like that, and, you know, a little house, and had a little carport. We didn't have a garage, but thank God we had a little carport. Drove a little Fred Flintstone car. Reason why I call it a Fred Flintstone car is because it sits so low to the ground that if you took the floorboard out, we could just put our feet and go bop, 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 and just go, you know, do what we got to do. I mean, the car was small, y'all. You got it. I remember one Saturday, I was watching college football, and my wife's like, you know, I'm going to go out and clean the car, and I know I needed to go and help her. Really, I just needed to do it, you understand? But I was just trying to watch the end of this game, and you know, it wasn't much time at the end of this game, so by the time she went out ahead of me, I came out about 10 minutes later. Car was so small, she had already washed the whole car, dried the thing off, it was already done, got it? And so, you know, and we were living paycheck to paycheck, and I was, you know, I was, you know, I was in a tough spot because, you know, I was in the military prior. I was providing, you know, for my family well and those kind of things. And it's tough when things change on you. It's tough because pressure comes. And the enemy wants to try to bring depression. And he wants to try to put negative thoughts in your mind. The only job I could find was a job making $6.25 an hour at a place called Ecom on Gum Branch Road, directly across the street from Jacksonville High School. This is a testimony, not a testifony. So I can give you all the right answers. You got it? And so, you know, and I worked in the afternoons, and it was a real aggravating job because it was with all the kids that came from the high school, and boy, they just wanted to play and just laugh about everything. You got it? And it just, that just wasn't me. I'm a leader of Marines. You got it? I ran my shop. You got it? And so that was tough. But even through that, God was teaching me things. How many know even when you go through a tough season, God teaches you some things? You got it? And he works out everything for your good if you stay in faith. We only had one car, and my job wasn't very far, but I mean, it was good ways, but we only had one car, and so brothers, you know, if there's only one car, both of y'all got to go to work, you know, you got to let the wife get the car, and you figure out how to get to work. Can I get a big amen? All right. You know, if y'all got two cars, who drives the newer car? The wife drives the newer car. Why? It keeps you in faith for both of y'all to be driving good. Praise the Lord. All right. That's my story. That's how I've always lived my life. And God has honored that. Amen. And so, you know, I remember walking down the road, and man, it started raining. And I think I was just almost at a breaking point this day, because I'm trying everything, you know, that I can to make things work, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, and I remember started raining, man, and man, I just bust out crying. I'm not really a big crier, you know, and that kind of thing, but I'm upset. I'm crying. I'm not mad with God, because I'm more mature than that. I understand that God hasn't done anything wrong to me, but I am talking to God, saying, God, like, I need you to help me. And it is in that walk, all the way in the rain, I almost turned around and called in and said, hey, I can't come, but I needed these monies. You understand what I'm saying? And people ask me, why in the world would you take a job making $6.25 an hour? Because some money was better than no money, and if I was faithful in that which was least, God could bless me with a whole lot more. Isn't that right? And so, you know, I made up my mind, you know, it was during that walk. I mean, I got there wet, y'all, soaking wet. I didn't care. I went to work. And during that walk, I made up my mind that I'm going to live by faith. Like, it doesn't matter that I'm not going to be in a pity party. I'm not going to let the enemy get me to pray. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to figure this thing out. You got it? And then I told you about my ice cream truck. Y'all got the picture of the ice cream truck in the back. If you do throw that, that was my ice cream truck. And so I already gave you the story about that. So I'm not going to stay on it long. Is that an angel over the ice cream truck? Looks like it. Praise the Lord. All right. And so thank you. So I had the ice cream truck, and I started using my faith on the ice cream truck. Like, Father, if the word works, I believe it's going to work right where I am. So I declare in the name of Jesus that I fill up this freezer with ice cream. And, you know, every time I go out, it empties. That kids will stand in line, because my pastor would say people will stand in line to come to our church. So I just flipped it. People will stand in line to come to my ice cream truck. And, you know, and I talked to you about that last week. And bottom line is, you know, I made thousands of dollars every week just selling popsicles and Nutty Buddies and firecrackers and, you know, and those kind of things. Why? Because I put my faith to work and I was able to see results. You got it? And so I learned so many things. I learned the principle of giving. Thank God for a man of God who wasn't afraid to teach me on giving. I had learned giving, at a young age from my father, of course. So as a kid, when we got birthday money and those kind of things, we always tithe off of it. But it's a difference when you're doing it as a kid because your father's telling you to, compared to when you're out on your own. You got it? Now you're an adult. You can make your own decisions. And thank God for a good man of God that was teaching me how to release faith for the promised blessings that when I gave, that God wasn't trying to get something from me, that he was trying to get something to me, that giving put me in covenant with God. And so I begin to learn these principles that radically changed my life. Last week I told you that I had to overcome things called false beliefs. And a false belief is a thought pattern that is contrary to the express will of God that hinders and cripples the believer's decision-making process. And those negative thoughts, they can come from the enemy, they can come from negative people, they can come from negative family, but you have to learn how to push all that aside and take God's word for face value, that if he says you're healed, then you're healed. You got to speak it and start walking in it. If he says you're blessed, then you're blessed. You got to speak it and start walking in it. If he says the peace of God surpasses all understanding, can guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, you got to take his word for face value, speak the peace of God, and start walking in it in your life. Does that make sense? And so I had to overcome those things. I had to overcome the stigma of giving because people didn't like talking about giving in church. And although I had a great man of God, they talked bad about him. He's a prosperity preacher. He's just stealing everybody's money. But I had to look past all that because everything he said, I found in the word. You got it? And that's what you have to understand. Don't worry about what other people are saying. If your man of God is saying it and you can see it in the word, you can take that thing, apply it in your life, and you will get results. Amen. All right. So there's three things that I learned concerning giving that I want to share with you today that I think will be a blessing. And this lesson is not entirely just because we're having a big giving day. Typically, the beginning of the year, I try to teach a few lessons on giving. I don't teach on giving half as much as I used to in the beginning because we were growing the church and we were setting a foundation. A lot of you have been around and you understand giving, but we still have a lot of new people coming. And so we want to make sure that they understand what you understand. Can I get a right? And so sometimes the pastor teaching on something, yeah, I've kind of heard that. I've heard that point. Yeah, I can see he changed up a little bit. Well, you have to understand, faith coming by hearing and not what you've heard. So every time you hear the word again on something, it increases faith again in your life. You got it? And learning takes place through repetition. So whatever I hear over and over and over is what shapes me, all right? But this is not just for giving as it relates to our big giving day. I hope that you understand this principle that every time I get paid, every time somebody gives me birthday money, every time I get a cash app blessing, you got it? That I'm going to give the first to God because the first belongs to God. You got it? It's the holy thing. It's the thing that has to be set apart. It's the thing that doesn't belong to me. And if I will watch this, if I will give the tithe or give the tenth or give the first to God, he breathes on the 90 and he blesses the rest to the degree I didn't lose the tenth that I gave him because he calls it to prosper. Does that make sense? You have to believe that the 90 blessed, you got it, God can do supernatural things. It can go further than the 100 cursed. Does that make sense? All right. How many things did I learn?
Three
things I learned. All right. Everybody say number one. I learned that giving was God's plan. I learned that giving was God's plan, that it wasn't a man's plan. It wasn't my pastor's plan. It wasn't something we read in a book somewhere, that giving was God's plan. Here at Without Limits, we say giving is not what? And the reason I say that, and I've been saying that since the beginning of the ministry, is because maybe you have seen games played. Maybe in church, or you just seen people on TV, and they play games, and they promise you that if you do this, and you buy, you know, this water that they got from the bathtub, but they say it was from the Holy Land, you got it, and you then God's going to have a BMW if you just turn around through it. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I believe that if you will be a giver, you got it, and put yourself in covenant with God, yes, if you want the house, the car, or anything else, God will bless you, but you could do it apart from any games. You got it? Because giving is not a game, all right? So Lady LaConte and I, we've never played games with you. Thank God, my man of God, Pastor Taylor, he never played games with you. He taught us the word of God and gave us opportunity, and we decided to take that word and run with it, and it has done amazing things in our lives. Genesis 8 and 22 teaches us that, hey, you might as well get used to this, because while the earth remains, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So the Bible is teaching us, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be some constants. There's going to be some consistencies, and seed time and harvest is one of them. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse in the Amplified says, remember this. Do what, class? He says, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously with blessings. Verse 7 says, let each one give as he is made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart. And that is why we don't play games when it comes to giving. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, but it's up to you to do it. Isn't that right? Yeah. No, but nobody's going, you know, you didn't get a call last night from any of the ushers saying, hey, when I come through with the bucket, you know, show up. You ain't get that, right? No, you didn't get a special email. You got it? You know, you didn't get any of that. All you ever get is the word of God, because the Bible says that you have to make up your own mind whether you're going to operate in this word or not. Does that make sense? He says, let each one give as he made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully. You can't give that way. Under compulsion, you can't give that way. You got it. You have to give from your heart. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon and do without, watch this, a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do a giver whose heart is in his giving. And the reason why I just give you opportunity and teach you the word on giving, because you make up your own mind to do it. And when you make up your own mind, you're cheerful. Why? Because nobody made you do it. Nobody played any games. Now you can do it cheerful. Now you can do it joyful. And the Bible says, for those of you who do it cheerful and joy, he takes pleasure in you. He prizes you above other things. And he's unwilling to abandon you because he loves a cheerful giver. The Bible says that where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. So whether you believe it or not, in the room and online, you got it, there is a string, you got it, from your bank account to God. You understand what I'm saying? And you know, we can look at our bank accounts and tell what we love. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we can do, you know, you look at mine, you can tell that I love my church because I'm a giver, you got it. You can tell I love other people because I give to them, you got it. And above all, you can tell that I love Lady, you understand what I'm saying? Because we get packages to the house every day, praise the Lord. I don't mind, because in the early days, when I didn't have anything, all I had was a promise. And Lady would have to work, and when she came home at the end of the week, she would hand me her paycheck, and I'd put it in the bank, and I'd pay all the bills, right? And there were some weeks there would only be, you know, after we paid everything, I'm talking about paid everything, we gassed up the car, had groceries in the house, you know, there might be $80, $120, and those kind of things, you know, but she never complained. She never said, you know, well, my sister did go get the hair done. Well, you know, why I've ever got to come to my house and burn my hair every time I get a prayer. She ain't say that. She ain't say that. You got it. She just did, you know, she didn't say, well, you know, my sister, they get to go to the nail shop, and, you know, I got to go to the dollar store, you know, and get me some of that 99-cent nail polish. You got it. And that remover, don't take that stuff off. That stuff's still sitting there saying, I shall not be moved. You know, just she never complain. And thank God for women who don't complain but stand with their husband and say, we're going to make this thing work together. Most people discount the team concept in marriage. The reason that Lady and I live the life we live is because we did it together as a team. We got together and we understood the word and we said, we're going to make this thing work. And watch this. And if I'm trying something, a business, and it didn't work, she didn't say, see that? I knew that joker wasn't going to make nothing happen. No, I would tell her, babe, this didn't work, but I got another plan. She said, okay, baby, I'm with you on the next plan. That business didn't work. And I said, baby, I got another plan. She said, okay, baby, I'm with you on that plan. You know, and that one door closed and another door closed and another door closed. But one day God finally opened the right door, and I thanked him for all the wrong doors that he closed. You got it? But I kept my promise to her. Come on, somebody. Yeah, I kept my promise to her. You got it? And so, you know, I'm a man of my word. So my chief joy is to make her happy. So it doesn't matter, you know, how many packages come and those kind of things. They let them come all day, because I'll never forget in the early days, in the lean days, she didn't try to make me feel less than a man because, you know, I needed till the 5th to pay the rent instead of on the 1st. And I couldn't do this and that kind of thing. You know, she prayed for me. She pushed me. She encouraged me. And a lot of times people don't realize behind a great man is a great woman. All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And if you're married, just remember that team concept. Get together, work together, and you can make some things happen. Amen? All right, so now verse 8, I remember where I left off, says, and God is able to make all grace, what is all grace? Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always have. And let me tell you, it's the will of God for you to always, under all circumstances, and whatever the need be, self-sufficient. It's the will of God for you to be self-sufficient. I do not believe in being in between blessings. We don't serve a God of in between blessings. I don't believe that. I believe that you can get in faith and get to the point where all of your needs are always met, where things always flow. You understand? Even if you're not there right now, get in faith and say, God, it's the will of God for me to be self-sufficient. Well, Pastor, I don't know what that is. All we got to do is keep reading. Possessing enough to require no aid. I don't need anybody to do anything for me because God has blessed me in abundance. You got it? That's not pride. Hello, somebody. But I have worked this principle, and now God has done it for me. Matter of fact, I don't need someone to help me. I got enough to help somebody else. That's the key right there. Possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. You got enough for you, enough for someone else, and you still got a grip left over. That's the will of God for your life. That's the will of God for your life. In the early days, I would be at the church. I couldn't give a lot in the early days. You know, we gave our tithes, you know, maybe $20 off and $25 off. And that's as good as we could do. You know, I would always be a blessing to my pastor, give him a $20 offer every Sunday. You got, even on Sundays when I couldn't, I found out a way to give him $20 because I knew there was a grace that was on his life that I wanted to tap into. And then, you know, because I couldn't give, I understood that I could sow seed other ways. I was cutting the grass at the church. You got it? I asked him, could I cut his grass at his church? He said, yes, at his house. He told me, yeah, as long as you don't mess it up, you know, but I had to have thick skin because my pastor was just like that. You got it? Had to look over that because I understood that there was a blessing that I could tap into, right? And I'd come to church early. I'd vacuum the church. I'd do all kind of things, understanding that if I served, if I sowed, and if I sacrificed, I'd see the supernatural. If I served, if I sowed, and if I sacrificed, I would see God do amazing things in my life. And so I went from, you know, driving a little Fred Flintstone car to letting Lady buy any car that she wants, any time that she wants. You got it? People, I don't understand that. I think you ought to just, you know, well, and that's okay. If that's what you feel, then you live that life for you. Because I think that we all should live that life for each other. You got it? But if I buy a Lady a car and 2 years later she says she wants another one, we're going to trade that one in. You understand? That's just what we're going to do. You know, I don't want a car payment, and I think that that's the life you should live. I always going to either have faith for it or faith to pay it off. It's according to your faith, be it unto you. Does that make sense? So I'm not being mean when I say that, but I'm just saying never get upset with somebody because they're doing something that you're not doing, and then now you make excuses. That's just bad stewardship. Taking care of my wife is bad stewardship, giving her the desires of her heart. The Bible says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. Or Jesus gave everything, including himself. I'm just giving up a little cash so she can get another car. I don't see nothing wrong with it. You got it. Now, till I start asking someone to help me pay in on the bills, hello, somebody. You know, but don't get upset when people get upset with you because God's blessing you. You got it. And don't feel like you got to back up because God's blessing you, or you have to be quiet because God's blessing you. You got it. It's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. You got it. And when God is blessing your neighbor, he's in the neighborhood. So we rejoice with those who rejoice. But if you notice, when I teach the word of God, I don't teach that you have to do what pastor does. Come on, somebody. I ain't never taught that. Isn't that right? You got it. Matter of fact, I always teach that you stay in your lane, that you work the word for yourself, and I've never told you you need to live in a certain kind of house, you need to drive a certain kind of car. I don't get up here talking about, yeah, well, these jeans I got caught. I don't do none of that. I teach you the word of God, watch this, so you can apply in your life and get the results that you want for your life. That's a good place to clap right there. Right, because at the end of the day, that stuff really don't matter. Just preference. Isn't that right? Yeah, you drive the vehicle you drive because it's preference. You live in the house you live in because it's preference. You wear the clothes that you wear because it's preference. So it's just preference. So don't get mad, you got it, at anybody. And then everybody, you do you. And be happy for whoever does them. Isn't that right? That's a good place to clap right there, amen. I just figure he owned cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver is his and the gold is his. And so if he's my daddy and he got it all, I think I can get a little piece too. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, if the streets are not paved with gold, they are made with gold. You understand what I'm saying? And so you got to understand that everything belongs to God and he is your father. There is nothing that is too hard for God. Sometimes the reason we don't get to where we're going is because our faith is too low and we make excuses to keep our faith low. But if you ever can kick those excuses out the door and say, God, I'm going to set my faith big. Set it bigger than you're able to accomplish and watch God do some supernatural things in your life. Isn't that right? Yeah, all right. So 2 minutes and 56 seconds left. How in the world do we keep getting here? I got to point number one. All right. Everybody say if you had time. If I had time, I would tell you. And I actually gave you the scripture 3 weeks ago. So if you were in church 3 weeks ago, you already got the scripture. I learned that I must give consistently even when it's not ideal. I must give consistently even when it's not ideal. Tough times are no excuse not to give. It is actually the reason that we should give, because giving puts me in covenant with God. Right? So we must understand that waiting for everything to be right for our life, to in our life to give and become a good steward, will always cause delay and disobedience. And delayed giving equals a deferred harvest. All right? If I had time, I'm not going to. Don't put it up on the screen. I take you to Genesis 26. I showed you how Isaac sowed in the tough times, in the famine. And the Bible says, in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. I show you that God's not trying to get something from you, but he's trying to get something to you. If I had time, I would tell you to stay away from small-minded people, because people will impose limitations on you. And the danger of them imposing limitations is that it hinders your expectation. And then when your expectations been hindered, your faith has nothing to work with. My thing is, who are you to tell somebody what they can have and cannot have, how much they should make and cannot make, how many times they should go on vacation and should not go on vacation? If I was you, I'd just stick with the word, because God says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Does that make sense? God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. The key is you got to learn how to take this word, apply it in your life, and everybody say, dream big. Yeah, I believe that this is the year that supernatural debt freedom is going to take place in some of your lives. I believe some supernatural things are going to happen. I believe some supernatural money is going to show up, and you're going to be able to write checks and pay the car off and pay the house off. But it's according to your faith, be it unto you. I told you, I just talked to a person the other day and just told me, I was talking to this guy, and on the phone, he just said, yeah, I was thinking about you. I'm going to give you $100,000, just like that. You got it? So if you can believe, it's possible for you. Does that make sense? Oh, man, in my 41 seconds, I would explain to you, giving can be difficult if you don't realize it's God's plan. Let's put these up on the screen real quick. It's difficult to give when my plan to have is valued above my confidence in God's plan. Sometimes we got to learn that we have to have confidence that God's plan works better than yours. And so if I release what's in my hand, he'll release what's in his, and his hands are bigger than mine. It's difficult to give when I feel that my needs and desires will be jeopardized if I obey. I can't see giving as losing, but I have to see giving as gaining. You got it? That God's not trying to get something from me. He's trying to get something to me. But what he needs more than anything is he needs my heart. And if he can, watch this, if he can get your heart, he'll give you whatever you want. Let her see. It's difficult to give when it looks like God is better to others than he is to me. And God is not better to others than he is to you. All of you are at different places in your life and in your faith process. And don't hate on somebody because you have no idea what they went through to get to where they are. So rejoice with those who rejoice. Isn't that right? And then letter D, it's difficult to give. Let's go home, Court. When I allow others to dump their doubt and unbelief on me. Well, giving never worked for me. I believe it. Because you didn't give with the right heart. You didn't give with the right attitude. You didn't give in faith. You gave like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do this for about 2 months. You know, and if you don't come through, I'm going to keep my little money. Go ahead and keep your little money. Because God doesn't work like that. Because he really doesn't need our money. He needs our heart. That's the bottom line. Well, giving never worked for me. I believe it. But watch this. The word of God doesn't need somebody's experience to validate it. The word of God is what it is, whether they experience it or not. Does that make sense? The key is faith. That's the key. That point, which is my last point. Point number three, I had to learn how to trust God as my source. So I wasn't trusting my paycheck anymore. That's why it's so easy to give when you're not trusting your paycheck. If you're trusting your paycheck, you're looking at, that's all I got. But when you look at God being your source, that's not all you got. Because if that begins to run out, he going to replenish that because you're in covenant with him. Does that make sense? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, I thank you for this lesson on giving, and I bind the hand of the enemy that would try to steal the seed that has been sown into the life of the believer today. And I thank you, Father, that I've rightly divided the word today so the people of God can hear the word on giving the right way and not the wrong way. And I thank you that every person makes a calculated choice to trust you as their source. I thank you that Without Limits has 100% tithers, that everybody gives the first to God, and as a result, they live a first-class life. I declare because of their giving, all their needs will be met according to heaven's best. I thank you that because of their giving, favor and increase will abound in their lives. I thank you because of their giving, you bring them to a self-sufficient state where they require no aid or support, and they're furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. I thank you for blessings on top of blessings and increase on top of increase. And now I curse fear that tries to grip the heart of people not to give. That's straight from the enemy. But Father, I thank you for you showing them through your word and through the Holy Spirit, through the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that they can trust you in this area of giving, and that once they apply it in their life consistently, that you will absolutely change their lives. Now, Father, help us all to be good stewards of the money that you've entrusted us with, so that way it can continue to grow and grow in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Praise in the room.